بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. So we are on the discussion of Sahih Hadith. Yeah. So this is actually one of the most important discussions because all of the like everything related to Ulum al-Hadith revolves around the definition of Sahih Hadith. So there are five conditions for a Hadith to be Sahih. And if a Hadith falls short of any of those conditions, then it's not Sahih. However, what happens is if it's short of one of them, then there's different names for them. So the entire Ulum al-Hadith actually revolves around this terminology of what is a Sahih Hadith, and then everything else, you know, conforms to that. So if the Isnad is one of the conditions of the Sahih Hadith is for the Isnad to be connected. If the Isnad is not connected, it's broken, then depending on what type of break there is in the Isnad, then this is called Muttasil al-Sanad, Munqati' al-Sanad, or Mu'adal, or Mursal, etc., etc. So all of the kind of terminologies pivots around that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. How many people do we have? We have Muhammad Salman Khan twice, no? Let's have a look. Five people. Muhammad Salman and then Muhammad. Then Omar is here. Omar from Toronto? Nah. Is it Toronto?
From Virginia.
Virginia, sorry, yeah. Okay. So let's look at this. وَخَبَرُ الْآحَادِ بنقل عادل قام ضبط متصل السند غير معلل ولا شاذ هو الصحيح لذاته. وخبر الآحاد so خبر واحد can be صحيح لذاته. When can it be sahih li zatihi? When it meets a number of conditions. Number one, bi naqli adlin tamid dabti. When it is narrated by an upright narrator, tamid dabti, who has a complete capacity of articulating hadith properly. That's number two. Muttasil as-sanad, when the isnad is continuous, it is not broken. Ghair mu'allal, when the hadith does not have any hidden defects. Wala shadh, and the hadith does not have any ambiguities. Okay, in it. Huwa as-sahih li dhati. This is called sahih li dhatihi, or what we know as hadith sahih. So these are the five conditions of a sahih hadith. Please learn them. It is very important. So you can learn this one. Khabr al-wahid bin naqli adilin tamid dabti muttasil sanad ghair mu'allal wala shad wa sahih li dhatihi. So there are five conditions. I will write it down here. This is the way that I do hadith sahih. Condition one. You can learn it like this. Adalatul rawi. Adalatul rawi. Number two, Dabt Ar-Rawi. Number three, Muttasil متصل السند. Number four, عدم العلة, the absence of any hidden defects. And number five, عدم الشذوذ, the absence of any anomaly. Okay, so when we say what are the five conditions of a sahih hadith, you say adalat al-rawi, dabt al-rawi, muttasil al-sanad, adam al-illa, and adam al-shuzuz. Please learn those. I will ask you what these are next week. So adalat al-rawi, the rawi is upright. Dabt al-rawi, the rawi has got the good scholar. Dabt is able to articulate everything properly. Muttasil al-sanad, the sanad is continuous. Adamul illa, there isn't any hidden defects in the hadith or the isnad. Adamul shuzuz, and there isn't any anomalies in the narration or in the isnad. This is called, when all of these five conditions are met, this is when we say the hadith is sahih, and the complete name for this is hadith sahih li dhatihi. It is intrinsically, it is sahih. Okay, these two relate to rawi. This relates to isnad, and these two relate to rawi and isnad, both. Yeah, so you can have illa and shuzuz in the rawi or the isnad. That's wrong. Matan and the isnad, yeah? We can have problematic matans, or you can have problematic isnads, yeah? So, adamul illa, adamul shuzuz. So please know this, adalatul rawi, dabtul rawi, muttasilus sanad, adamul illa, adamul shuzuz. Any questions before we move on? No? وَخَبْرُ الْآحَادِ بِالنَّقْلِ عَدْلٍ تَامِ الضَّبْتِ. Right? Tam, complete dabt. Dabt basically means is able to articulate the hadith without making any mistakes. Muttasil al-sanad ghayr mu'allal wala shad huwa sahih li dhatihi. Wa hadha awwalu taqsim al-maqbool ila arba'ati anwa'. This is the first qism of maqbool into taqsim. This is the first categorization of maqbool out of four. So maqbool, there are four types of maqbool. Okay, maqbool is the hadith which is accepted. So if we have hadith maqbool, yeah, maqbool is the accepted hadith. One, two, three, four. So we have صحيح لذاته. You have صحيح لغيره. We have حسن. Okay, and the other مقبول was متواتر. The other maqbool was mutawatir. Then you will get mardood hadith later on. Sahih li zatihi, sahih li ghayrihi, hasan, and mutawatir. We're not going to discuss mutawatir, we've already discussed it. We are going to discuss these three, sahih li zatihi, sahih li ghayrihi, and hasan. Can you see my screen, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
وهذا أول التقسيم المقبول إلى أربعة أنواع لأنه إما أن يشتمل من صفات القبول على أعلاها أو لا. Either it has the all of the highest level of conditions of acceptance, or it doesn't have the highest level of the conditions of acceptance. Meaning that these five these five conditions that we mentioned, some of them fall short. Yeah. الأول الصحيح لذاته. The first is صحيح لذاته, where all five conditions are met. Yeah, this is called صحيح لذاته. وإن وجد ما يجبر ذلك القصور ككثرة الطرق فهو الصحيح أيضا لكن لا لذاته. However, if there is something that compensates for shortcomings in this in the conditions of the sahih, such as kakathrati turuq, such as that the hadith which falls short of the sahih has got many isnad lines, many isnads, فهو الصحيح أيضا, this hadith is also صحيح, لكن لا لذاته, however, this is not صحيح لذاته, this is called صحيح لغيره. Yeah. So صحيح لغيره. I'll come back to صحيح لغيره again, it'll become quite clear after we look at Hassan. وحيث لا جبران, وحيث لا جبران فهو الحسن لذاته. When there is no compensation to compensate for the shortcomings in the hadith, then this hadith is حسن لذاته. Obviously, the shortcoming is that it's slight, ever slight shortcoming, not a lot that it changes the hadith into weak. Okay, very very small amount. Yeah. وإن قامت قرينة ترجح جانب قبول ما يتوفق فيه فهو الحسن أيضا لا لذاته. And if there is some قرينه, some textual indication which is privileging acceptance over that which was, there was a suspended judgment on it, فهو الحسن أيضا, that is also حسن لا لذاته. However, it's حسن, not حسن لذاته, is حسن لغيره. Yeah. وقدم الكلام على الصحيح لذاته لعلو رتبته. So let's go back to this because we're not discussing متواتر. He didn't put متواتر here, so we'll have five. He put حسن لغيره here. So this is حسن. غيره. Okay. So حسن صحيح لذاته is when these five conditions are found completely. This is called صحيح لذاته. حسن لذاته is when there is a shortcoming in one of these five conditions. When there is a shortcoming in one of these five conditions, but the shortcoming is not very, extreme. Okay, so this turns the hadith into حسن لذاته. صحيح لغيره is when you have a حسن لذاته hadith. However, there is something in that hadith which is compensating for the shortcoming. Like the hadith has many, many, many isnad strands. Then that حسن لذاته hadith becomes صحيح لغيره. So in effect, صحيح لغيره hadith is actually a حسن hadith which is fortified by many different isnads. Yep. Then you have Hasan لِغَيْرِهِ. Hasan لِغَيْرِهِ is actually a weak hadith where you do not know whether the weak hadith should be accepted or not. But then later on you found some kind of interpretation to privilege it. Then that also becomes Hasan, but is Hasan لِغَيْرِهِ. And sometimes when you have a da'if hadith and that da'if hadith has got many isnads, okay, then that da'if hadith, because of its many isnads, also become hasan li ghayrihi. Okay, so does that make sense?
So just to clarify, sahih li ghayrihi, if there is essentially a hasan, but with more fortification.
Yeah.
And then does it become, so does that then become hasan li ghayrihi?
It becomes sahih li ghayrihi. Okay.
Okay.
Let me give you an example of how this works. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Let's talk about cars. Yeah. Let's say this is. Let's say this is an Audi. Yeah, Audi is a top of the range car. Use a different color. Yeah, let's say this is Audi. And let's say here, Hasan li dhatihi is a VW. Yeah. Same version as the Audi. So we know that VW and Audi are the same makers, right?
Yeah.
Now, what you then have is you get a VW and you modify it, you beef it up, and you put all of the Audi specs on it. Yeah? You put Audi specs on it, but at rock bottom, in its origin, it is a VW. Yeah? So when people see this, they'll basically think, oh, this is an Audi. Right, but in reality, it is basically a VW that has been modified. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Does that make sense, Hussein, in your language?
It does. Yeah? I think I'm just more thinking about more the kind of semantics. Like, do you still recognize it as a VW? Beefed up.
Okay. So stop. We'll come to the semantics, right? But do you understand this?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then you have let's say you have here Mardud. Yeah. And that's your Da'if. Yeah. That's your Skoda. Skoda is also by VW, isn't it? You beef it up, right? And you give it VW specs. So somebody sees this, doesn't know a lot about the cars. They know that they think that this is a VW, but actually it's a Skoda, right? So it's a Skoda, but pretending to be a VW. This is what we call a Hasan li ghayrihi. As to your question of, do we recognize it as a sahih hadith, or do we basically call it a hasan hadith? This is where scholars are not consistent in the way that they approach things. There isn't a consistency. So you need to be careful. Yeah, you need to be careful that when somebody says this is Hasan, is it actually al-da'if hadith, which is hasan li ghayrihi, or is it hasan li dhatihi? When they say sahih, is it actually a hasan hadith, which is hasan li sahih li ghayrihi, or is it actually sahih li dhatihi? There is no consistency. And the reason why is because sahih li ghayrihi, hasan li ghayrihi, these are terminologies which have been introduced later on. Yeah? These are terminologies which has been introduced later on. So this is the kind of trajectory that the hadith followed, yeah? The terminologies of hadith. First of all, you had... Sorry, that's wrong. Originally, you had... Do you know what? My brain is on autopilot at the moment. Am I doing the same thing over and over again? Sahih. And da'if. This is early. Bukhari, pre-Bukhari. Yeah. There was no Hassan. Okay. If there was Hassan, then it wasn't used in a technical way. But even Imam Tirmidhi uses Hassan, but we actually don't know what he means by Hassan. Okay. Then came in Hassan at a secondary stage. And then at a tertiary stage, we have this, but then we also have Sahih Ghair, and we also have Hassan Ghair. These are later developments. Because of that, okay, you will find, so you need to, first of all, you need to understand this development, because the earliest scholars, when they sometimes declare a hadith da'if, okay, then they might not mean da'if as in what Ibn Hajar meant, and this happens quite a lot in Mustadrak Ahmad, they might basically be meaning Hassan, right? Because Hassan was subsumed under da'if. Anything which is not sahih was deemed as da'if. Does that make sense? So in yes. The early scholars, when they say da'if, that they might, so in the Mustadrak Ahmad, yeah, when he's calling a hadith da'if, it might be in reality that it is Hassan according to later terminologies. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But the so this is your same equivalent as the in Hanafi fiqh, we have you know, between mandub and fard, we have another category which is wajib. Between makruh and haram, we have another category which is makruh tahrimi. All the other fiqhs don't have that, because Hanafi fiqh recognizes that there are some kind of ibadat or some kind of actions which doesn't fall in the mandub category, but which doesn't really fall in the fard category. So there has to be something in the intermediary, in the middle, and that is the wajib. So similarly, the ulama later on, at this very early on happened, post, you know, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, they realized that the sahih da'if is not catching all the nuances, right? Either a sahih hadith is sahih, and if it's not sahih, then everything else is da'if. It's causing confusion, so they decided to interject a hasan, you know, terminology. To my mind, the very first person to have introduced the terminologies of sahih li ghayrihi and hasan li ghayrihi is Imam Ibn Salah. Imam Ibn Salah was a 7th century scholar. Okay, previous to Imam Ibn Salah, the categories of sahih li ghayrihi and hasan li ghayrihi never existed. Okay, so here is the thing. Because the most famously understood is this one, people today still use that, and they say sahih, hasan, da'if. Okay, some people might be nuanced and they might basically use sahih li ghayrihi, hasan li ghayrihi, but they are not 100% consistent. And this is why This is why you will find that, and sometimes, you know, the scholars, they use these nuances to their advantage. For example, the hadith of من أخلص لله أربعين أحاديثا من أمر دينه جرى الله بعث الله يوم القيامة من زمرة الفقراء, that whoever learns 40 hadith in my ummah, then on the day of judgment they will be resurrected with the fuqaha. This is a weak hadith, but later on Imam Suyuti and Imam Tahir al-Salafi and others were able to bring many, many different isnads for that and then basically declare it as hasan li ghayrihi. But others who are not accepting of that category will still call it da'if. Okay, so sometimes it depends on if somebody wants to, which way their opinion is. They might call it da'if or they might call it hasan li ghayrihi. Okay, so it is not consistent and it is sometimes used arbitrarily. Okay, this is where it becomes problematic and it becomes quite difficult. So let me tell you one thing. During the COVID-19 lockdown, there was a WhatsApp message that was going around in the in the Muslim blogosphere, WhatsApp sphere, and that message basically had a hadith. And the hadith said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whenever there is any musiba, like any disease comes from the heavens, then the only place the musiba does not afflict is the masjid. And this hadith is being circulated by anti-COVID Muslims who do not believe that COVID can harm people, and they basically are against the closing of the mosques, and they were using this hadith to say to people, go to the mosque, go to the jama'ah, go to the jum'ah, because according to this hadith, you will not be afflicted by COVID. Okay, so it was in my mosque group, the message that was circulating also said that the hadith is hasan. Yep. So I looked into the hadith and I wrote back to my mosque group that the hadith is da'if. Don't go with the hasan. But the hadith is actually hasan li ghayrihi. Okay. The hadith is hasan li ghayrihi because it's a weak hadith, but it's got many isnad. Some ulama have said it's hasan li ghayrihi. But I was adamant, right, that people disassociate this hadith from being hasan and call it as weak. And the reason why that was is because I had an agenda, and that is that people are dying because of the COVID-19. Two of my friends died because of COVID-19. What I don't want is more people to die by going to the mosque. So I was adamant that I'm not going to accept this hadith as hasan li ghayrihi, because when you say it's hasan li ghayrihi, then people then become laps. So in the same way that when you say smoking is makruh tahrimi, people say it's only makruh tahrimi. But when you say smoking is haram, then okay, people say, oh, it's haram. So similarly, if you say it's hasan li ghayrihi, people will want to follow it. But when you say it's da'if, then you can make the case, look, there's life, which saving a life is fard, and you have a da'if hadith. So does that make sense? It can become political, and you can argue these things in different ways depending on your own agenda. Does that answer your question, Hussein?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so you just, the point is you need to be careful. Unless somebody says this hadith is hasan li dhatihi or hasan li ghayrihi, you just need to be wary, and especially if it's a later scholar, right? You need to be wary of how they are using the terminology. Yeah. Anything that you, if there's one thing that you learn from, you know, learning with me in Nuzha, and that is that there is no universal principle of ulum al-hadith. You have to be wary of everyone using, the terminologies, because sometimes the same scholar might use it in different ways to prove certain things. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yep.
وقدم الكلام على الصحيح لذاته لعلو رتبته. And says the discussion on صحيح لذاته has been is the first one because of its high of its high status. Yeah. So now he's going to explain some of the terminology where he says عدالة الراوي and ضبط. He's going to explain some of this terminology. والمراد بالعدل. What does عدل mean? What does morally upright mean? Okay. من له ملكة تحمله على ملازمة التقوى والمروءة. عدل means is the adal is the person who has got the capacity tahmiluhu, which may motivates him to be persistent on taqwa and dignity and a sense of self dignity. Yeah, so what is taqwa? Wal muradu bit taqwa. Taqwa is ijtinabul a'mal as-sayya min shirkin aw fisqin aw bid'ah, to refrain from bad actions such as shirk, committing sins, and bid'ah. What is dubbed? So you got that. So if the person has got the capacity to be persistent and consistent on taqwa and self-dignity. Dignity is basically you don't do things in public where when people see this, they say, you know, is this person not a dignified person? So in the medieval times, to eat standing up or walking was also seen as khilaf al-muru'a. If a person was to urinate outside, that was seen as khilaf al-muru'a. So the kind of morality is different from today, and they had a higher standard of muru'a.
Well, on that question then, does that change with time then? Like in this day and age, if you were to, you know, try and determine if this person meets the condition of adl, would you then look at morality based on today's time?
Yeah, providing that, like for example, I don't know, like previously, people would if somebody frequents the market and he's always there in the market or going to taverns and places to eat, you know, people will basically say this alim is like, you know, he's ayyash. But nowadays, you know, if you go to Nando's and Pandu's and all of these places, you know, that's not going to taint your, or at least according to some people, it's not going to taint your adala. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Previously, if you didn't wear a hat, the adala is tainted. Here, if you don't wear a hat, not in every circle would your adala be tainted. Yeah. What is dhabt? Dhabt basically means there's two dhabt. One is dhabt to sadr and the other one is dhabt to kitab. So proper articulation, right? Dhabt to sadr is if you have memorized something, right? This is called dhabt to sadr. وَهُوَ أَن يُثْبِتْ مَا سَمِعَهُ بِحَيْثُ يَتَمَكَّنُ مِنْ إِسْتِحْدَارِهِ مَتَشَاءَ. Dhabt to sadr is the memory recall. That وَهُوَ أَن يُثْبِتَ مَا سَمِعَهُ, that he has established within himself what he has heard to the extent that it is possible to recall that from memory whenever it is possible. Yeah. So that the hifz is so good that you're able to, like the way that Hufaz do with the Quran, you're able to kind of recall that whenever somebody reads an ayat. Okay. وَضَبْتُ kitab. ضَبْتُ kitab basically is, if somebody has written the lectures or hadiths down, you know, in writing material, then وَهُوَ صِيَانَتُهُ لَدَيْهِ. ضَبْتُ kitab means that it is it is preserved, right? It is kept safe. صِيَانَتُهُ لَدَيْهِ. It is kept safe with him. مُنْزُ سَمِعَهُ فِيهِ. From the time that he has heard it. وَصَحَّحَهُ إلى سمع فيه وصححه إلى أن يؤدي منه. And he has also corrected it. If there was any mistakes, went to the Sheikh and corrected it to the point where he has transmitted it. Once you have transmitted it, right, the hadith, then you passed it on to somebody else. You don't need to kind of and somebody else has written it down or somebody has memory, you don't need to be as careful. Similarly with the Dabtu Sadr, once you've memorized it and you passed it on to somebody and that knowledge has been passed on, so I've memorized something from my teacher, passed it on to Hussein, now it's Hussein's responsibility. I don't really need to remember that anymore. Okay, so because I've passed it on. إلى أيوه وقيد بالتام إشارة إلى الرتبة العليا في ذلك. And when Imam Ibn Hajar says ضبط الطام, that's إشارة, it is an indication of the highest level of ضبط. There are also lower levels of ضبط. So why do you say صيانته لديه, to keep it safe? Because remember, they didn't have books like the way we have books. They were writing on parchments, manuscripts, leather, skin, bones, etc. And the ink is not the best of pocket ink that we have nowadays. So they used to use water and other kind of dyes. So maybe either the writing material gets destroyed, or because of exposure, the ink starts fading away. So this is talking about siyana. Okay, there are many, many times you will have people who are seen as strong narrators, okay, or authentic, accurate narrators. They are later on, declared to be weak narrators. And the reason why is because they haven't memorized the material, they have written down their materials. And when they, and the material is sahih in the sense that they've got it checked and everything. And what they will basically be doing is when they teach hadith, they will kind of directly quote from that. Okay. So when they directly quote from that, that still is accurate, okay? But then what happens is somebody's house catches on fire and all of the books get burnt. And then this person, because he hasn't memorized anything, he doesn't remember properly, but he still teaches hadith. And when he teaches hadith, he's making mistakes, right? So we will say that this person has got problem in his dabt fil kitaba. So for example, Salih Mawla Tawama. Salih Mawla Tawama, he basically had all of his materials written down. And when he was writing all of his material down, it was accurate and he used to narrate accurately. But his house got burnt and his books got burnt. And then when he started teaching hadith, he wasn't as accurate because he didn't memorize that. So Imam Malik and Sufyan al-Thawri read from him after his books got burnt and they declared him to be weak. Okay. However, Ibn Abi Dhi'b narrates from him. He was an early student of Salih Mawla Abi Tawama. He narrates from him before his books got burnt. Then because of that, the hadith that Ibn Abi Dhi'b narrates from Salih Mawla Abi Tawama, those hadiths are sahih. Okay, so then, so it's important to know which student studied when and in which situation. Similarly, you have Ibn al-Lahi'a. Ibn al-Lahi'a is a weak narrator. Ibn al-Lahi'a is basically a narrator who is the foremost narrator in narrating the history of Egypt. Okay, but from a hadith point of view, he is seen as weak. And the reason why is because towards the end of his life, he became senile. Okay, he lost his memory. Sheikh Ahmed Shakir, who's an Egyptian, started off as a Hanafi, became a Salafi, was a muhaddith, did editing of the Sunan al-Tirmizi, the Risala of Imam Shafi'i, the Mustad of Imam Ahmed, and many other books. He, maybe because he's Egyptian and he wants the narrations to be sahih, he declares that Ibn al-Lahi'a is a strong narrator. So again, here, his personal agenda is working here. So the ulama recognize that. Yeah. So this is Dabtu Sadr and Dabtu Kitab. Any questions before we move on?
So I just want to clarify one thing. So if someone did not memorize it in their heart, but they had it on the paper and it was perfectly, you know, perfectly written down, and then somebody else came and they read it from the paper and the other person wrote it perfectly down, there would still be full dabt, even if they did dabt of kitaba, even if they did not actually have it memorized in their heart, and that wouldn't affect the hadith
it wouldn't affect the hadith at all.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, it's not that all hadiths were passed through memory; it was also passed through writing as well. Yep. And especially if you check, if you check the transmission lines, and if there is no subtle differences between the hadiths, because between the wordings, words haven't been supplanted, there hasn't been foregrounded, different synonym hasn't basically been used, then the chances are that this has been passed down through reading written material. Okay, because it is very difficult for people to be accurate in 10 generations and get everything exactly the same. Okay, it's possible, right, but it's very difficult. So the scholars basically say this is most likely that they were using written material to pass it down. Okay. So it's not necessary that it needs to be passed down through memory. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Wal muttasilu. So he's looked at adalatul rawi. We looked at dabtul rawi. When we mean dabt, and is dabt al-kitabah or dabt al-sadr. What does muttasil mean? Wal muttasilu ma salima isnaduhu min suqutin fihi. Muttasil is the hadith where the isnad is free from any drops in it, any broken links in it. Suqut, any broken links in it. Bihaythu yakunu kullu min rijalihi sami'a dhalika al-marwiya min shaykhihi. In the sense that every person in the isnad heard this narration, marwiya. Marwiya is another word for riwaya. Heard this narration directly from the sheikh, without there being any missing link. وَسَنَدُ تَقَدَّمَ تَعَرِفُهُ. And sanad, we've already mentioned the definition of the sanad. Is that okay? So muttasil basically means that there is no drop in the missing links. وَالْمُعَلَّلُ لُغَةً. وَالْمُعَلَّلُ لُغَةً مَا فِيهِ عِلَّةٌ. Mu'allal, according to the dictionary, is that which has an illah. Wa istilahan ma fihi illatun khafiyyatun qadihatun. And according to the istilah, it is that which has got a certain subtle hidden defect which is damaging, qadiha, which is damaging, right? So the defect is not obvious to the average person. Is only obvious to the the expert. Okay. So, for example, I don't know. You probably bought a piece of wood. Okay, and you screwed that with a drill, and it split. Yeah, it split, and you took it to the shop, and basically said, "Look, this wood is not very good. It split," and the shopkeeper, who's an expert in wood and tools and masonry and carpentry, looked at the hole you made and basically said, "Sorry, I can't reimburse you because you used the wrong tool. You should have been using a hammer drill, but used an impact drill. And we clearly, in our instructions, it says do not use impact drill. But he didn't witness that, but just by the, because of his khibra, because of his expertise, he can tell the way that the hole was made and et cetera, that this is the cause, okay? And this is the thing that damaged the wood. But the average person will not be able to recognize that. So this is a hidden defect, yeah? And there is no dawabid, there is no qawaid for that. You know, I tried looking for what is an illa in during my PhD thesis. There isn't dawabit, it's quite arbitrary, but it's only the main kind of ulama, who are seven, right? There are seven main scholars who are known as Aimatul Jarh wa Ta'dil. Right? Have I mentioned that before to you?
No.
Yeah, those are the ones that really matter. So it's like the four imams of fiqh in hadith, in jarh and ta'dil, in narrative criticism. There are seven people who are quite famous. Let me remember. I think it's number one, Ali ibn al-Madini. Number two, Yahya ibn Ma'in. Number three, Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Number four, Bukhari. Number five, Abu Hatim al-Razi. Number six, Abu Zur'a al-Razi. Number seven, Imam Nasa'i. And number eight, so eight of them, is Imam Dharqutni. Ad-Dharqutni. Imam Ad-Dharqutni. I think I've added one extra name here. I'm not sure where. There were supposed to be seven of them, but Nasai is one of them. I'm not sure if Abu Zur'a al-Razi is one of them, but these are seen as the a'imma of jarh and ta'dil, and their words are the kind of last. Yeah, Dharqutni is the latest scholar, Nasa'i, Ali ibn al-Madini, Yahya ibn Ma'in, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Bukhari, Abu Hatim al-Razi, Abu Zur'a al-Razi, Imam Nasa'i, and Dharqutni. And where you will find ilal is basically to look in the books of ilal. Imam Ahmad's ilal, Ali ibn al-Madini's ilal, Imam Tirmizi's ilal. That's where you will actually go and look for these hidden defects. There are books that will tell you what the hidden defects are in particular hadiths. Yeah. وَالشَّاذُ لُغَةً الْمُنْفَرِدِ. Shaz in the lugha basically means to be alone. وَإِسْتِلَاحًا مَا يُخَالِفُ فِيهِ الرَّاوِي مَنْ هُوَ أَرْجَحُ مِنْهُ. And istilahan is basically the mukhalafa of a narrator of those that are more better than it. Okay, and there's going to be a whole section on shaz. وَلَهُ تَفْسِيرٌ آخر سَيَأْتِي. Yeah. Are there any questions before we move on? Okay. Let's have a look at the way that the ulama, they kind of look at or do at least the first three. Okay, which is Adalat al-Rawi, Dabt al-Rawi, and Ittisal al-Sanad. So this is the hadith of Niyya. Yeah, the hadith of Niyya is Imam Bukhari, innama al-amalu bin-niyyat. Imam Bukhari says, haddasana al-humaydiyu, qala haddasana Sufyan, qala haddasana Yahya ibn Sa'id, al-Ansari qala Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Taymi, qala haddasana Alqama ibn Waqqas al-Laysi, qala sami'tu Umar ibn Qattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. One of the first things that they will check is, first of all, is this sanad muttasil? Okay, and how you know the sanad muttasil is you check the dates and you check the biographical dictionaries to see whether there is a student-teacher relationship. Everyone in this isnad has a teacher-student relationship, right? Then kind of recognize what type of scholar this person is, you go to the biographical dictionaries and look at the ratings of them. Imam Bukhari, leader of the believers in hadith. Al-Humaydi Abdullah ibn Zubayr is trustworthy, thiqatun, hafidhun, faqihun. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, trustworthy, hafiz, jurist, imam, proof, hujjah. Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari, trustworthy, reliable, thabt. Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Taymi, trustworthy. Al-Qama ibn Waqqas al-Laysi, trustworthy, reliable. Lifespan doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, it just means that when I was looking into it, I couldn't find it, so I just put a thing there. I haven't gone back to look for it. So you can see that every single one of these people are trustworthy. We have the Adala Turrawi. And also they are the Adala Turrawi and the Dabt, Faqih, Hujjah, Thabt, right? Reliable. The Dabt is there. The Ittisal Sanad is there. Okay, so we've got three of the conditions, and presumably the hadith innama al-amalu bin-niyyat doesn't have any shuzuz or doesn't have any hidden illa, and that's why the hadith is sahih. One of the problems with modern hadith scholars is that they only focus on three of the things related to the sahih, which is adala turawi, dabt turawi, ittisal sanad. They don't know how to look at hidden defects and shudud. And this is a problem with Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani. He does not look at the other two conditions. He just looks at those three conditions and declares a hadith weak or sahih or da'if or hasan or or something else. And that's where he is, because a hadith can be sahih on the face of it, but it might be weak because it's got some hidden defects in it. Okay, and if you're not trained, then you won't be able to know that. Is that okay? Any questions?
Just on that, with Sheikh Albani, does he also make that distinction about Hasan Nizatihi and Bighairihi?
Yes, he does. Okay, so the second hadith is, what is it? Oh, I haven't got the hadith here. Right. Oh, there we go. It's here. مثال الحديث حسن ما رواه أحمد قال حدثنا يحيى بن سعيد. يحيى بن سعيد is a reliable narrator. أحمد بن حنبل is a reliable narrator. عن بهز بن حكيم. بهز بن حكيم said قال حدثني أبي his father is Abu Bara, an Jaddi, who is Abu Dhar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qala qultu ya Rasulullah man abarru, the Rasulullah, who shall I be obedient to most, said your mother, and so it's a hadith, your mother, your father, and then your closest relatives. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is strong, Yahya ibn Sa'id is strong, Abu Barza, what's his name, Abu Bara or Abu Barza, and Abu Dhar. They are Sahabis, so we don't talk about them. But Bahz ibn Hakim, okay, he is not the highest of the narrators. Well, Imam Ahmad wa Shaykhu Yahya ibn Sa'id, wa huwa al-Qattan, Imaman Jalilan. So he's saying Imam Ahmad and Shaykh Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan are two Imams. Bahz ibn Hakim من أهل الصدق والصيانة حتى وثقه علي بن المديني ويحيى بن معين والنسائي وغيرهم. Right, Imam Ali ibn Madini, Yahya ibn Ma'in Nasai has done tawthiq of him. Lakin istashkala al-ulama ba'da marwiyati hatta takallama fi shu'ba min al-hajjab bisababi dhalika. Wa hadha la yashtubu sifatu al-dabti, lakinahu yush'ir bi annahu khaffa dabtuhu. Wa walidu hakim wathaqaw al-ajli wa ibn Hibban wa qala Nasai la ba'sa fa yakunu hadithu bahza hadha hasan li dhatihi. Right, so Hajjaj, Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj has basically said a few words about him. So this doesn't make him weak, but because of the difference of opinion, it relegates him from the level of sahih. And remember, we basically said that a hadith is judged according to the its strongest isnad. The strongest isnad, and the isnad is judged according to its weakest link. So weakest link here is Bahz ibn Hakim, because Bahz ibn Hakim is Hassan, right? The hadith is Hassan. Does that make sense?
Yep.
We have another narration of this hadith by Bahz ibn Hakim. This same hadith, but narrated by not Abu Dharr, but Abu Huraira and other companions. And because of the collective isnads, okay, this hadith then becomes sahih li ghayrihi. Okay, he gets bumped up from the level of Hassan to Hassan li dhati to sahih li ghayrihi. Is that okay? وقوله وخبر الواحد كالجنس وباقي قيوده كالفصل. Here he's basically just giving some mantiki discussion. The خبر الواحد is like the jins. And the rest of the conditions are like fasal. So you have in mantik, you have jins, fasal, and no'. Jins is basically what we call the general. This is the specific. So if you have hayawan, natiq equals insan. This is type. Noah. Yeah. Haiwan, natiq is insan. Yeah. Haiwan, sahil is faras, horse. So in both, so a neighing animal is a horse. So because Haiwan, both of them are Haiwan, they share the characteristics of a living creature. This general quality is called jins. The one that specifies them from their jins is the specific characteristics. Okay, so when he said here, this is just a mantiki discussion, it's got nothing to do with ulum al-hadith. When he said, وخبر الآحاد, yeah, بالنقل عدل التام الضبط متصل السند غير معلل ولا شاز, yeah. So خبر الآحاد is the jins, and all of these five conditions is the fasl, and صحيح لذاته is the نوع, right? Because you can say خبر الآحاد, and then you can say خفيف بنقل عدل خفيف الضبط متصل السند غير معلل ولا شاز هو الحسن لذاته. Right? So if just like this is خفيف الضبط, the hadith will become حسن لذاته. Does that make sense? I mean, if you don't understand it, leave it, because it's just a mantiki discussion. Sheikh Sharif Hatim Al-Auni, when he comes to that, he just basically said this is mantiq. We don't believe in mantiq, leave it. Well, since we need to kind of understand the entire book, Khabrul Wahid is like jinns, and the other conditions are like fasal. Babu qawlihi wa qawluhu bi naqli adlin ihtiradun amma yanqulu ghayru adlin. So these are conditions which are what we call qaid ihtirazi, conditions which are telling us what the Sahih Hadith is not. By telling us with transmission of the morally upright, so we know that ihtiradun amma yanquluhu ghayru adlin, we know that the Sahih Hadith is not that which is narrated by a person who's not morally upright. وَقَوْلُهُ هُوَ يُسَمَّى فَصْلًا يَتَوَسَّطُ بَيْنَ الْمُقْتَدَى وَالْخَبَرُ يُؤْذِنُ بِأَنَّ مَا بَعْدَهُ خَبْرٌ عَمَّا قَبْلَهُ وَلَيْسَ بِنَعْتٍ لَهُ. Again, he is going, so he's, this is a dhamir, it's called dhamir fasl. It's called dhamir fasl. It comes between a muqtada and khabar, and tells us that what is coming afterwards is the khabar of what is before it, and it's not a sifa. Okay, so he's just doing some kalam on the Arabic. Right. وَخَبَرُ الْآحَادِ بِالنَّقْلِ عَدْلٍ تَامِ الضَّبْتِ مُتَّصِلُ السَّنَدْ هُوَ غَيْرْ مُعَلَّلْ وَلَا شَاز. Yeah. Up to this bit is the مُبْتَدَى. Yeah. This is Huwa, is what we call the Dhamir Fasl, which comes between the Mubtada and the Khabar in order to emphasize that what is coming afterwards, this As-Sahih Lidhatihi, is the Khabar of all of this. This is the predicate, and all of this is the Mubtada. And the reason why this is done, right, this Dhamir Fasl is brought in, is so that because between the first ism, right, which makes up the first portion of the mubtada and the khabar, there's been quite a bit of a gap, right? And then we might forget, yeah, that this is you know, the we might forget where the khabar of that mubtada is. So if you want to have a look at this, wa khabrul ahad is mudaf mudaf ilay. Yeah, mudaf mudaf ilay, basically that in itself is an ism. Yeah, it's an ism, or we can say it's a mubtada. Bi naqli adlin tamid dabti. Right, naql is mudaf, adlin is mudaf ilay, it is mawsoof. Tam middabti mudaf mudaf ilay, sifat of adal. Adal with its mawsoof makes the mudaf ilay of naql. Right? Then that is mutaalliq with ba, which goes back to thabata, which is hidden. Then you got we got muttasil istanad, mudaf mudaf ilay. Ghayr mu'allal, mudaf mudaf ilay. Wala shad, you got another ism there. So you've got quite a lot of clauses in here where you will forget which one is the mubtada and which one is the khabar. So Imam Ibn Hajar is saying this entire thing is the Mubtada, and this Sahih Lidhatihi is the Khabar, and to draw attention that this is the Khabar of this Jumla, we bought this Dhamir Fasal to show that this is the Khabar. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Yeah.
If you haven't understood it, let's move on, because it really doesn't matter. وقوله لذاته يخرج ما يسمى صحيحا بأمر خارج عما عنه كما تقدم. And the reason why he added لذاته صحيح لذاته is so that he may exclude those things which are صحيح, because extrinsically صحيح. So he's talking about صحيح لغيره. By saying صحيح لذاته, he does not mean صحيح لغيره. Yeah. وَتَتَفَاوَتُ رُتْبَتُهُ أي الصَّحِيحِ. So that was just a jumla. Mu'tariza is a tangent. That's got really nothing to do with usul. It's more to do with mantiq and grammar. Any questions before we move on?
No.
وَتَتَفَاوَتُ رُتْبَتُهُ أي الصَّحِيحِ بِسَبَبِ تَفَاوُتِ هَذِهِ الْأَوْصَافِ الْمُقْتَضِيَةِ للتصحيح في القوة And the status of the Sahih itself, the status of the Sahih itself fluctuates because of the بِسَبَبِ تَفَاوُتِ هَذِي الْأَوْصَافِ, because of the differences in those conditions which are required for تصحيح, right? المقتضي للتصحيح في القوة فإنها لما كانت مفيدة لغلبة الظن الذي عليه مدار الصحة اقتضت أن يكون له درجات. And the fact that the صحيح gives the faida of ghalabatul dhan, which is the basis of siha, because you don't need yaqeen for siha, ghalabatul dhan, then it is obvious that there will be differences in requirements. بعضها in degree, بعضها فوق بعض بحسب الأمور المقوية, some are more stronger than the others according to consolidatory and fortificatory reasons. وإذا كان كذلك, and if that is the case, فما تكون رواته في الدرجة العليا من العدالة والضبط وسائر الصفات التي تجب كان أصح مما دونه, right? And if that is the case, then those ruwats who are of the highest level, okay, those ruwats were of the highest level of siha in adala, in dabd, and all the other conditions of tarjih, their hadiths will be more sahih than those which are not on the highest level. So what Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani is saying here is that, look, we have got this sahih. Yeah, and let's say we've got Hassan. I'm not putting in the, we've got da'if. I'm not putting in the other things, right? So he says, even when we talk about sahih, it's difficult to draw lines with this. It goes wonky. Even when we're talking about sahih, right, even when we are talking about sahih, there will be within the sahih themselves, there will be degradations of the sahih, and they will all be sahih, yeah, but there will be gradation. So this thing that we mentioned here, yeah, at a fourth level, we can basically add more things. But then, as far as classification is concerned, that how many classifications are you going to have? The sahih within itself can have so many different types of sahih. That's what it's saying. And the way that Jonathan Brown, he explains this, he gives a good metaphor. And he basically says, look, right, within the Sahih al-Bukhari, there are different gradations of Sahih. So, for example, the hadiths related to history, yeah, are of a lesser degree than the hadiths related to law. They're still Sahih. They still don't fall below the Imam Bukhari's conditions of sahih. They are still sahih. But if you were to kind of categorize and organize the sahih according to a gradation within their own category, then the hadiths in history will be at a lower degree than the hadiths in the hadiths in law. And he gave an example of this. He says, imagine that you are going through the airport. And in the airport, you know, everything is being scrutinized. Yeah, everything is being scrutinized. But the airport security guard, when it comes to elderly women, he doesn't check their handbags. And whenever there is an elderly woman, a priori, he doesn't check their handbag. He just checks everything else, does all of the security checks of everything else, but doesn't check their handbag, and he just lets them through. So he says that obviously the security check that has been done of a younger person and the security check of an elderly woman, consistently, the elderly woman security check will be of a lower degree of clearance than the younger person, because the younger person has been scrutinized more, right? But that's a priori, it's across the board. So similarly, he's saying that since Bukhari doesn't, when it comes to historical hadiths, he doesn't take that much care as legal hadiths, then automatically the historical hadiths to a certain extent will be, not always, but will be of a lesser degree of sahih than the legal hadiths. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So, فمن رتبة العليا في ذلك ما أطلق عليه بعض الأئمة أنه أصح الأسانيد. So in the highest degree, in the highest level of degree is that which some ulama have said that this is the أصح الأسانيد. So for example, according to Imam Bukhari, Malik عن نافع عن ابن عمر or ابن عمر is known as سلسلة الذهب. It is the golden chain. This is the most authentic chain in the world. Right. So if you have that hadith and you have another hadith with a different chain in the Sahih al-Bukhari, the one with the Silsilat al-Dhahabiyya will be, in the grand scheme of things, will come number one, and the other one will come number two. But they're all Sahih. We're still talking within the realm of Sahih. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's what it's talking about here. So number one, Kazuhuri عن سالم ابن عبد الله ابن عمر عن أبيه. Such as Zuhri from Salim ibn Abdullah ibn Umar from his father. I think this is according to, let me see. Okay, I had it in my notes somewhere who this belongs to. But I think this is according to Yahya ibn Ma'in. Okay, some scholar basically say this is the most authentic isnad. Another scholar says Muhammad ibn Sirin an Abida, yeah, ibn Amr an Ali. Oops, where are we gone? This is the most authentic isnad, yeah. And then Ibrahim al Nakhai an Alqama an ibn Mas'ud. This is Hanafi isnad, right? This is the most authentic isnad. Then you have at a second degree, you have isnad which is lower than that, so, such as Buraida ibn Abdullah ibn Abi Burda an Jaddihi an Abihi Abi Musa and Hammad ibn Salama an Thabit an Anas. These are also Sahih isnads. But if you have one of these, the first tier isnad and hadith of this tier isnad, then the first tier will be more Sahih than this tier. So how do you remember this? So there's a lot of stuff that you need to memorize in Ulum al-Hadith. There's no thinking about that. In the same way that there are mathematical equations and scientific equations that you need to memorize. Yeah. You basically need to just memorize. You know, you need to memorize the circumference of a circle to the pi. You need to memorize, you know, distance over speed. You need to memorize all of those formulas. There is no other way about it. You just memorize them. So similarly, you memorize these, right? And you basically know their rutbas. Straight up. There's no other way around that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
وَدُونَهَا فِي الرُّتْبَةِ Suhail ibn Abi Salih an Abihi. So one way of learning that is to learn, take a hadith scholar, or you can learn it like this, books like this, or take a hadith scholar like Zuhri and basically look at the maratib of his students and learn the names of his students, then move on to the next scholar and learn his students. Obviously the famous ones, you don't need to remember everything. But the more that you deal with hadith, the more you kind of will get a flavor for this as well. ودونها في الرتبة كسهيل بن أبي صالح عن أبيه عن أبي هريرة وعلى بن عبد الرحمن عن أبيه عن أبي هريرة فإن الجميع شملهم اسم العدالة والضبط. All of them, Alif Ba Jim, all of them, they are of عدالة and ضبط. إلا أن المرتبة الأولى فيهم من الصفات المرجحة. However, the first tier one have got the sifat which will privilege them to be before any other narrations, تقديم روايات على التي تليها, which will necessitate that their روايات is before the ones that come after. وفي التي تليها, and the second degree one, من قوة الضبط ما يقتدي تقديمه على الثالثة, as far as strength is concerned, it requires that they are privileged over the على الثالثة of the third. وهي أي الثالثة مقدم على رواية من يعد ما ينفرد به حسنا, and the third tier is preponderant, is before the or before the Hassan narrators. So now he's coming on to the Hassan narrators. Muhammad ibn Ishaq and Asim ibn Umar and Jabir. This is a Hassan isnad. Memorize it. Amr ibn Shu'ayb and Abihi and Jaddihi. This is a Hassan isnad. وقس على هذه المراتب. And do qiyas on this on these degrees and their likes. والمرتبة الأولى هي التي أطلق عليها بعض الأئمة أنها أصح الأسانيد. The first alif are the ones that some ulama have said that these are the أصح الأسانيد, the most صحيح إسناد. والمعتمد عدم الإطلاق لترجمة معينة منها. Imam Ibn Hajar is saying, but the most preferred opinion is that you don't actually label any individual isnads or individual people as the asahul isnad, okay? Because these are individual asahul isnad according to different people. So there is no kind of ubiquitous universal asahul isnad. Okay, these are according to different people. نعم يستفاد من مجموع ما أطلق عليه الأئمة ذلك أرجحيته على ما لم يطلقوه. He says yes. What we can say is that those tier ones that the ulama have given the name asahul isnad to them, as a whole, they are more rajih, they are more privileged and preponderant over the ones that the ulama have said nothing about. So the tier two and tier three. So the tier ones are basically higher than the tier two and tier three, but we can't basically say which of the tier one is the asahul asanid. With that, we should just leave it open. Yeah. Okay. So we'll, and according to Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, it is you know, Malik an Nafi an Ibn Umar is the asahul asanid. Okay, we will leave it here because this is opening up a different discussion. We will pick that up next week, inshallah. Yeah?
Inshallah.
Any questions before we move on?
Well, just one question. Touching on what you mentioned before in terms of the division and the kind of the time frames. So yeah, you mentioned the first one, Sahih and Da'if, and you mentioned that was around kind of Bukhari or pre-Bukhari.
Pre-Bukhari, yeah.
Is that, are you lumping it all like together, or like, I mean, would that still be true in the like the first like Hijri century?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what about like terminology like, you know, Maqbul and Mardud? Was it ever, or was it always like Sahih and Da'if?
Yeah, so the thing is that when we go to the earlier period, we have terminologies which later on have no longer found their ways into the books because they're kind of gone out of use. So we have Jayyid and, you know, all these different kind of terminologies which we don't use anymore. And the early period, you have all those terminologies. Yeah. So they weren't only using Sahih and Da'if, they were using Jayyid, they were using Ajwad, they were using Rajih, Arjah, and other different terminologies, which then just fell out of fashion.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If you look at where's it gone? What is it? Al-Muhaddith al-Fasil, Imam al-Ramhurmizi's book, that gives you quite a lot of these older terminologies because it was one of the first books. In fact, Sheikh Sharif Hatim al-Auni basically doesn't even consider it an Ulum al-Hadith book, because it's not an Ulum al-Hadith book. It's a book on adab. Let's see. So حدثني فلان عن نفسي. You won't get that. That's very early stuff. Okay. Chalo, we'll leave it at that, inshallah.
Thank you.
Okay, I will. There is no reason not to have a class next week, but let me just check. Actually, do you know what? We can't have a class next week. Sorry about that. There won't be a class next week because I have to go to a dispute resolution meeting next week. I'm sorry about that. So, I mean, this is the nature of my, because I'm busy, I'm flying all over the place. I hope you can forgive me. There's not going to be a lot of consistency and there will be a lot of cancellation, but if you can bear with that, then, you know, you can learn. And if that's not possible, then we can just close the class down.
No problem. That's totally fine, Sheikh.
Yep.
We appreciate okay? you and we appreciate all the knowledge. Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair. So the 4th is fine of June. The 11th of June is fine. All of June is fine. It just next week is problematic. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Jazakallah khair. Okay, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.